This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm in the studio with a terrible twosome of
Audrey Raj.
I've been your Raj.
Audrey has been waxing lyrical about how pretty the Apple Titanium credit card is. Arvin's been like, nope.
Couldn't care any less.
Couldn't care any less. Doesn't care. Does not care one iota. Okay, we are asking you guys to give us feedback regarding the first story, which was all about how proper planning prevents poor performance. Say that four times fast. Go on. don't do it. 01878 9889 was the number on WhatsApp, on Twitter or Instagram. It is at BFM Radio. We've got some feedback. Here we go.
Yeah, so this comes from MN Ibrahim, who says that best event, Bruno Mars concert in 2011. Great sound, great set. Worst event, Bruno Mars concert in 2018. Whoa. Bad sound system and bad seats despite paying for one of the most expensive seats. Ended up looking at the phone for election results updates.
Just a question. I'm wondering if it was different organisers. If you could let me know about that, that would be interesting.
Maybe.
Name and shame, my friend. Name and shame.
We've got feedback on the Apple Card story. Vivegan goes, isn't it funny that we get excited about a credit card that has no hidden fees? It's like, so they would charge me 1 billion ringgit annually, but get this, there are no hidden charges. Bargain, am I right?
And it's titanium and pretty.
There's another one here by Wendy who says, firstly, not a great idea to give one corporation almost all your data, diversify your data allocation so that no company will be too powerful in at the end of the day. And also she says, guys, don't you remember Goldman Sachs and what happened with 1MDB?
We all do.
Thanks for that, Wendy. And finally, one from Tenny here, and I think this one I have to ask you, Arv. So you don't care so much for the titanium card. What about an adamantium card?
Oh, okay. Yeah, if it was real,
or vibranium.
Or vibranium card.
Okay. Thanks, Tenny, for that. But he says, you know, that would be top sales if you had an adamantium card, or better, or even better, transformium. What is transformium?
Don't know.
Oh, come on.
Don't know.
Is it from Transformers?
Of course.
Transformium?
Yeah. Shouldn't you nerds have been at the cosplay thing last weekend?
No,
there was no permit, so we didn't go.
Yeah. See, we are responsible citizens.
All right, enough faffing around. We have to move on to story number four. We are all talking about how startup tech can tell if prescription drugs are fake or not.
Yeah. So for some reason, I don't know why, I didn't know that fake drugs were such a big problem in some parts of the world, because we don't hear about it enough, I think. Like, you have original drugs, and then you have sort of like generic brand drugs. I didn't know that fake drugs were sort of like an epidemic, but apparently in Africa, the counterfeit drug trade is a $30 billion operation. Suppliers have begun to flood the markets with cheap fake drugs, which may contain improper doses, incorrect or entirely absent active ingredients, or may have been stored in substandard conditions and expired. So pharmacists often purchase and sell substandard drugs without knowing their contents, and about one in every 10 drugs sold in the developing world is counterfeit. The World Health Organization, they estimate that in sub-Saharan Africa, between 64,000 and 154,000 people die every year from taking fake anti-malaria medication. So. Yep. What has happened is this startup by the name of RxAll, it's a company that uses artificial intelligence to verify how legit the medicines on the market are. So they basically built, with the help of data scientists at Yale, they built a handheld authenticator that analyzes the particular infrared wavelength that a drug emits. So they say that each drug has its own unique spectral fingerprint that indicates which chemical compounds are present. And by using this sort of, it looks like one of those barcode scanners. By using something that looks like a barcode scanner, this thing tells you in less than 20 seconds if the drug that you are holding is real or if it's fake.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, so because it has a network, it's connected to the network, and the network has all the names of the drugs and all the kinds of drugs and what kinds of chemicals should be in each of these drugs and to what dosage. So, you know, the ratios and stuff, like how much of each chemical, right? So if it's lopsided, or if it doesn't have enough of the chemical, or if it has more of some other chemical, this barcode scanner-looking thing will tell you that this is a fake drug.
And how expensive is this barcode scanner?
Yeah, for now, they've developed like a smaller version that costs about $1,000 US. But the full-blown version is actually $20,000 US for the bulkier version. So they've sort of scaled it down. It's still not affordable enough, I'm thinking, for, you know, everyday people to buy and keep in their homes, because $1,000 US is about 4,000 ringgit.
Mm.
So even if you convert that to like other countries with lower currencies, then it's very, very expensive. But
maybe hospitals, you know,
Pharmacies.
So mainly now they're fixing it at pharmacies, they say that they want to put it in each pharmacy so they can sort of cut the supply chain. If they scan the drugs that are coming in and they go, no, these are fake, you know, we can't buy them, and send them back to the supplier, that sort of like cuts them at the source because they're not making money anymore. So that's the goal. The goal isn't to sort of head straight to the drug trade. They just want people to sort of cut themselves off from buying these drugs in the first place. It has a 99% accuracy rate, which is huge. And they also want to scale to the point where every pharmacy can have a device on hand. But the most surprising thing was they say that interest is growing across Southeast Asia, where counterfeit drugs also claim thousands of lives, which I didn't know about. So I went and looked it up. And this stat came from 2007, actually, from the WHO. It said that 50% of drugs sold in Africa and Asia are fakes.
50%.
Half the drugs sold in Africa and Asia in 2007 are fake.
And it's not just like your pharmaceutical drugs. It's also vaccines as well. And you've got fake vaccines, you know. This is what causes the superbugs to rise, you know, when the bacteria builds a resistance to these fake drugs. Mm-hmm. And so they're able, they transform into superbugs. And that's why sometimes we take much longer to even recover from a simple cold.
There you go. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for all of your feedback. That's a great story, Arv. Thanks for that. Of course, we spoke just very briefly a few minutes ago about the what, Ords?
The Apple Card, and why it's too good to be true.
And before that, we spoke about
how Microsoft has proven that DNA data storage is real.
And before that, we spoke about how proper planning prevents poor performance. I did it again. We asked you guys for some feedback. We had some great feedback. Very quickly, we'll just get from Faizad, who said, disappointed with the KL International Motor Show. Expected to see some Italians, but no, even the Germans weren't there. Lots of Asians, though, and the French. From what I understand, my friend, they all went to Singapore. Not any surprise at all. Right, anyway, we should probably wrap up, shouldn't we, before we get into trouble. I've got a car show I've got to record. Coming up, it is the Breakfast Grill replay, coming up after the 1 o'clock news. With the rollout of several financial services across Southeast Asia, is Grab poised to become a fintech powerhouse in the region? The Breakfast Grill spoke with the Malaysian country head, Sean Goh, to discuss Grab's expansion plans, how things have changed for the company over the years, and the future of ride hailing. It's a spicy meatball. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and, I'm joking, Audrey Raj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.